Let us be attentive.
Their voice has gone out into all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Wisdom.
The reading is from St. John's first universal letter.
Let us be attentive.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we saw it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin.
Peace be with you, the reader.
Be attentive.
At that time, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate, and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. And he bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Today we celebrate all the myrrh-bearing women who have ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry on earth while he was here in the flesh. They ministered to him before his death, but they did not stop. The myrrh-bearing women continued to minister to Christ after his death as well. At least they so attempted, according to the customs of their time and culture and faith. And they continue to minister to him even today. Immediately after his death and resurrection, of course, the myrrh-bearing women, like the apostles, became proclaimers of the good news that Christ indeed rose from the dead. Some of them are listed in the Gospels. The Holy Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, stands at the head of all of them. The next one that receives a place in honor is St. Mary Magdalene. But we have others mentioned as well. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Joanna, the wife of Chuza. Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus, the friends of Jesus. Salome, the wife of Zebedee, and the mother of two of Christ's closest disciples, James and John. And we have also Susanna, of whom we know little or perhaps nothing. Brothers and sisters, this day is made extra special for us because it falls on Mother's Day. Every single year that the Myrrh-Bearer's Sunday falls on Mother's Day, it becomes all that much more special to all of us. I know it does to me. I know I've looked it up before, and I know I knew, and clearly I had forgotten. In thinking of the sermon for today, I actually had to look up again. How did the modern-day celebration of Mother's Day come to be? So it turns out that almost every nation celebrates Mother's Day, celebrates mothers, I should say, more specifically. Some countries celebrate mothers on March 8th, which is International Women's Day. But many other countries celebrate mothers in addition to March 8th, celebrate mothers on a different day as well. The most common date is either the first or the second Sunday in May. I don't know exactly why that is, to be honest with you. In the United States, however, it began around the beginning of the 20th century. I won't go into the details of that story, particularly since it's highly contested. But the idea that mothers deserve to be distinctly celebrated on a day set apart from all other days of the year is beautiful, and it is not new. It is ancient. Believe it or not, it predates Christianity. In fact, the ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans had a sort of mother figure celebration among their deities. And they were not the only ones. Other cultures and faiths also did, all throughout the world, all throughout history. Not something new. You see, people as a whole, and men in particular, used wisely the opportunity to give honor and respect to women, the humans who bring God-created life into the world. Today, on our calendar, we see the myrrh bearers. And as I mentioned earlier, they are special women for their dedication to serving Christ. On this day in particular, their trip to the empty tomb is what we remember more distinctly. You see, this third Sunday of Pascha, we think precisely of that short journey that they took. They were going to the tomb to follow the traditional ritual of their faith, to bring myrrh and spices and oils, perhaps, for the newly departed person. But is that the whole lesson? Is the simple fact that they were following a tradition of their faith and culture the whole thing in the Gospels? Clearly not. Because by their little journey, by their decision to go to anoint the body of Jesus according to their faith and traditions, by that decision, they showed how brave they were. They showed how much love they had for Christ Jesus, precisely because they went. You see, the tomb that Jesus was buried in, let's not forget, brothers and sisters, was sealed. It was sealed with the seal of Caesar. It was not just one big rock moved in front of the entrance. It was not a locking mechanism. No, brothers and sisters. It was sealed with the stamp of Caesar, which meant that if you were to break that seal, you would be killed. And it was guarded by soldiers. And yet, the only thing that was on their minds as they were approaching was actually not the fact that they would be risking their lives for breaking the seal, but simply the human fact that the stone was very large, and they did not know if they'd be able to roll it off the entrance. You see, this is what motherhood is. Courage, bravery, and motherhood requires that. But motherhood also requires incredible compassion. I was reading some writings of a Romanian elder of the 20th century, the elder Cleopa of Sihăstria Monastery. It was not related to Mother's Day, but I came across one of his statements in a longer sermon, which seemed really fitting. He was really describing relationships between people, and he was saying that in order to heal the world, we humans must offer the neighbor love and compassion of a mother. Each one of us, men and women, has to develop, he said, the love of a mother for her child in order to heal the world. A mother's heart is pierced as if by swords every time her child suffers, is it not? Much like we see that love-filled pain in the icon of the Theotokos of the Seven Swords, Perhaps some of you have seen that icon where the Theotokos has depicted over her body seven swords all pointing toward her heart, showing the pain of a mother for her son. Each sword representing a different moment in Christ's life, from the time when she, the Theotokos, received the news from the elder Simeon at the presentation in the temple 40 days after his birth, that representing the first sword, until the day that Christ, her son, gives up his last breath on the cross. Essentially, that icon describes the struggle of being a mother with the uncontainable love that a mother has for her child. For me, and for some of you sitting here today, this year happens to be the first Mother's Day without my mother, your mother, here on earth. It's been many years since I've had the opportunity to actually celebrate in person with my mother, simply because we lived far apart. But as soon as I was done with the Divine Liturgy on Mother's Day, I'd pick up the phone and call her to say, Happy Mother's Day. Today, I'll have to do that in a prayer only. I'm actually not sad, surprisingly. On Friday evening, I had to go shopping because my wife was not able to be here. My wife, another wonderful mother. I had to actually go shopping for myself, and I had to cook for myself. And as I left the grocery store, walking to my car with a couple of bags of groceries, I saw an old white Toyota Camry. And immediately I was startled because it looked exactly like the car that my mom drove for many, many years before she couldn't drive anymore. It's strange. It's strange how we humans can move through activities and experiences and conversations and arguments, even with the mother. And we are not moved, even through many of those experiences, we are not moved in the heart. And yet you have seeing a car, and it triggers you with such force that tears just cannot stop. And of course you run to the car so I can just sit down and not look silly in the parking lot and drive home and try to process why a grown man cannot stop weeping, even though he knows he is not sad, but joyful for her peaceful rest in the embrace of the Lord Jesus. And the only thing I could figure out, I could be wrong, the only thing I could figure out is that my mother's love could shine forth through the most banal, the most insignificant of things, of actions, of words. I hope you feel the same about and for your mother. Pray. Pray, dear brothers and sisters. Pray together, holding hands with your mother, if the Lord has her with you still. And if she is in the place where he holds her hand now, pray still. Pray, because she feels your hand through the hand of the Lord Jesus. Amen.